بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما. I start with the name of Allah. I praise Him and thank Him. I ask Allah to raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad and to protect His Muslim followers from whatever He feels for them. Today, inshallah, with the help of Allah, we will be talking about Abdul Rahman ibn Awf. Abdul Rahman, the son of Awf. He is Abu Muhammad, so his kunya is Abu Muhammad. Abdul Rahman, the son of Awf, the son of Abdu Awf, the son of Abdul Harith, the son of Zuhra, the son of Kilab, the son of Murra, and from Kilab, Murra and beyond will be the same lineage as the prophets alayhi salam. The mother's name is Safiya, and some say it was Ash-Shifa, and she also from Banu Zuhra. She was one of the immigrants. Abdul Rahman ibn Awf used to be called in the era of ignorance Abdu Amr, and some people said that his name was Abdul Harith or Abdul Ka'ba. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam changed his name to Abdul Rahman. Al-Imam Al-Asqalani in his book Al-Isaba fi Ma'rifat al-Sahaba mentioned that Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiyallahu anhu was born 10 years after the year of the elephant, which means he was 10 years younger than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As you already know, he is one of the 10 companions given the news to be in paradise, as per the hadith that we mentioned more than once, that the Prophet said, Abu Bakr fil Jannah, Umar fil Jannah, Uthman fil Jannah, Ali fil Jannah, Talha fil Jannah, Az-Zubayr fil Jannah, Abdul Rahman ibn Awf fil Jannah, and he mentioned the rest of the 10. Also, he is or was one of the 6 people of Ashura who chose the Khalifa. If you remember, after Umar was killed, then Umar, before he died, he said, listen to what Abdul Rahman ibn Awf says. And Abdul Rahman ibn Awf, he pulled out, he said, I'm not going to, run for the office of the Caliph. And then it was between Uthman and Ali, and then Uthman and Ali accepted the choice of Abdul Rahman, and Abdul Rahman chose Uthman at the time to be the Caliph. And he is one of the early 8 people who embraced Islam before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered the house of Al-Arqam in Mecca. Also, he was one of those who performed the 2 hijras, the 2 immigrations, one to Ethiopia or to Al-Habasha, and the other one to Al-Madinah. He was one of the early Muslims who participated in all of the battles that the Prophet attended, including Badr and Uhud. So you could see he has a high rank. He is one of the 10, one of the Badris, and one of those who attended Uhud, among the best Muslims. He narrated from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and from our master Umar. And in the two books of Al-Bukhari and Muslim, there are two hadith narrated by him. However, Al-Bukhari by himself narrated 5 hadith from the Rawi of Abdurrahman ibn Auf. From him, from Abdurrahman ibn Abbas, ibn Umar, Jubair ibn Mut'im, Jabir ibn Abdullah, and his nephew, Al-Miswab ibn Makhrama. He is the son of Abdurrahman's sister called Atika. Anas ibn Malik and many, many others, they narrated from Abdurrahman ibn Auf, radiyallahu anhu. Also among those who narrated from Abdurrahman were his own sons, Ibrahim, Humayd, Abu Salama, Umar, and Mus'ab. Abu Nu'aym, the great Hafiz, the author of Hilyatul Awliya, said that Sayyiduna Umar, our master Umar, referred to Abdurrahman ibn Auf as Al-Adlur Radi, that the trustworthy who is accepted. And Abdurrahman was one among those who used to give fatwa during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now, among the features of Abdurrahman ibn Auf, that his skin was white, he had wide eyes, long eyelashes, his nose was thin, he had 2 canine teeth that were long, he had hair that comes down to his shoulders, and his neck was long but also thick. His hands were also huge, his fingers were thick. He had beautiful face, skin, and he had thin skin, but he did not change, he did not dye his gray hair. He was one of those very generous companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He spent for the sake of Allah many, many dinars or a lot of money. Ibn al-Jawzi, one of the great Hanbali scholars, in his book Safwatu Safwa, The Best of the Best, he narrated from a tabi'i called Thabit al-Bunani, from the route of Anas. Thabit accompanied Anas radiyallahu anhuma. He said, when Aisha radiyallahu anha was once in her house, she heard a voice that shook al-Madina. So she inquired about it. They said, there is a caravan of camels that belong to Abdurrahman ibn Auf that just arrived al-Madina from Ash-Sham. There were 700 camels in this caravan. And Abdurrahman ibn Auf said to Aisha radiyallahu anha, I bear witness, I make you my witness, that all of these 700 camels, their loads, whatever they're carrying, are given by me for the sake of Allah. It means that he will be distributing it to the Muslims in Al-Madinah. One time, the lady, Bakr, the daughter of Al-Miswar, remember Al-Miswar, we said he is the son of Abdurrahman's sister. So her, his son, his daughter said, her name is Bakr. She said that Abdul Rahman sold a land that he owned to Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. He sold it for 40,000 dinars. Then he took this money, the 40,000 dinars that he collected from the price of this land, and he divided them among the poor people of his tribe, Banu Zuhra, and also among the immigrants, the people who left Mecca to Al-Madinah, and also he distributed this money among the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which means this is after the death of the Prophet. So Al-Miswar said, so this is the nephew of Abdul Rahman, he said, so we brought Aisha her share of this money. She asked, who sent this money? I said to her, Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, his uncle. Then she said, you should know that I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, لَا يَحْنُوا عَلَيْكُنَّ بَعْدِي إِلَّا الصَّابِرُونَ لَا يَحْنُوا عَلَيْكُنَّ بَعْدِي إِلَّا الصَّابِرُونَ. And it means, this is narrated by Ahmed and Al-Hakim and others in different wording. She said that the Prophet said, she heard the Prophet said, that he, his their situation after him is of his concern. Because you know, the Prophets were not inherited. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not inherit, did not leave legacy, money, for it to be inherited. Because al-anbiya la yurathun. Prophets are not inherited. So the wives of the Prophets did not have money left for them by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also, you already know from previous lessons that when one time they asked the Prophet for more, the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam received a revelation giving them a choice. Either they live with the Prophet the way he is supporting them, giving them the basic support, or they could ask for more and then the Prophet would divorce them. And they chose to be with the Prophet, to live in a tight situation, and hence now they have been living in tight situation. The Prophet died, did he not leave any inheritance? So it means their situation is given even tighter. So the Prophet told his wives, there will not be someone who will care for you, would be compassionate with you, feel for you, feel compassion for you. No, except those who are patient. Those who are patient. Those who will go against themselves and choose little to live with, but they will give a lot. And Aisha told Al-Miswar, who brought this money for her, from Abdul Rahman, she said, سَقَى اللَّهُ أَبَاكَ مِنْ سَلْسَبِيلِ الْجَنَّةِ. May Allah give Abdul Rahman a drink from Salsabil. And Salsabil is a spring in paradise. In Al-Quran, عَيْنًا فِيهَا تُسَمَّى سَلْسَبِيلًا. So this spring is in paradise. And Aisha made a dua for Abdul Rahman to be granted a drink from this spring in paradise for the generosity that he had been showing towards the mothers of the believers, the wives or the widows of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had sent them 40,000 dinars radiyallahu anhu. And as again, 40,000 dinars, that's a lot of money. This is gold. We're not talking about 40,000 pennies or dollars. And the Prophet mentioned in another hadith, الَّذِي يُحَافِظُ عَلَىٰ أَزْوَاجِي مِنْ بَعْدِي هُوَ الصَّادِقُ الْبَارُ. The Prophet said, the one who will maintain my wives after me is the truthful and committed person. And it was Abdurrahman ibn Auf. He used to take the wives of the Prophet places. He would make Hajj with them. And he would, you know, prepare their camels. Remember, they are women, so they sit on boxes covered on the camels. So the camels needed to be prepared. He would take them a place where they would not be bothered by people. So he was taking care of them in different ways. Radiallahu anhu. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam praised him before his death. Means before the Prophet died. Also, it is narrated, Al-Imam al-Zuhri narrated and others, that Abdurrahman ibn Auf gave the people of Badr each 400 dinars. And the ones whom he gave were 100 of them. So that's 400 times 100 people. One of those who received from Abdurrahman ibn Auf, our master Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. And Uthman was not a poor person, but he accepted it. He took it from his friend Abdurrahman ibn Auf. Also, it is mentioned in the book of Ibn al-Jawzi, Safwatu Safwa, that Abdurrahman paid, radiallahu anhu, paid as charity half of his money one time. And he paid 40,000 later dirham, and then he paid 40,000 dinars. And also he prepared 500 horses for the sake of Allah, means in the battle, for the battles. And he also loaded 1,500 camels for the sake of Allah. So those, all of these were provided for by Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu. And most of his money was from trading. Most of his money was from trading. How did it happen? Remember when the Prophet ordered the companions to immigrate from Mecca to Al-Madinah? So they left their money behind and then they went to Al-Madinah. Abdurrahman ibn Auf was one of those poor immigrants who came to Al-Madinah. And we said many times that the Prophet paired up between the immigrants and Al-Ansar. So Abdurrahman ibn Auf was paired up with Sa'd ibn Rabi'. Sa'd ibn Rabi' was one of al-Nuqaba of al-Ansar, one of the leaders of al-Ansar. So Abdurrahman ibn Auf and Sa'd ibn Rabi' were paired up. So this companion Sa'd radiallahu anhu said to Abdurrahman, look, I'm the richest person among al-Ansar. So I can divide half of money given to you. And also, I have wives, more than one. Just tell me which of these wives you wish to marry. I'll divorce her for you. When she passes her iddah, then you can marry her and you'll be fine. Abdurrahman ibn Auf, of course, he said, I don't need this. Means, keep your money and keep your wives for yourself. Not out of arrogance, out of pride that I have other ways of supporting myself. He said, but you can help me. He said, may Allah bless you and your money and your family. But if you can help me, show me where the marketplace is, where things get bought and sold. So he told him where it was. So Abdurrahman ibn Auf went, he sold some materials, then he bought others, then he bought, you know, sold and so on. And he made profit, and he kept on doing this for some time until his money, by the will of Allah, multiplied and became one of the wealthy Muslims, one wealthy immigrants of Mecca, radiallahu anhu. And when he got this wealth, he was giving it away, as we said, either as gifts or as charity or preparing for jihad, fi sabilillah, forces, camels, and so on. Beyond his generosity, he was known to be among the most trustworthy and most, you know, steady in narrating the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One time, Ibn Abbas was sitting with Umar radiallahu anhu, and he said, "Did you hear anything from the Messenger of Allah concerning a person who was praying and then he forgot how many rak'ah he prayed? Did you hear anything from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?" And he said, "No, by Allah, I haven't heard." Means Umar asked, Ibn Abbas said, "I did not hear anything about that." "Did you hear about it, Amir al-Mu'mineen?" Ibn Abbas said, "Oh Umar, did you yourself hear anything from the Prophet?" He said, "No, I swear by Allah, I haven't heard from the Prophet about this issue, this case." So while he said, Ibn Abbas, while we were sitting this, talking about it, Abdurrahman ibn Auf came in. So he said, "What are you discussing? What are you talking about?" So Umar radiallahu anhu told him about the issue. Abdurrahman said, "I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordering us what to do." So Umar said, "Well, you are a trustworthy person. We deem you trustworthy. So tell us what you heard." So he said, "I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, 'Ida saha ahadukum fi salatihi hatta la yadri azada am naqas, fa in kana shakka fil wahidati wal thintain falyaj'alha wahida, wa idha shakka fil thintain aw al thalath falyaj'alha thintain, wa idha shakka fil thalath wal arba' falyaj'alha thalatha hatta yakuna al wahm fi al ziyada, thumma yasjud سجدتين وهو جالس قبل أن يسلم ثم يسلم." So Abdurrahman said, "I heard the Messenger of Allah say, if someone got, you know, distracted in as-salah, forgot how many rak'ah he prayed already, he doesn't know should he pray more or less. So if he had a doubt whether he did one or two rak'ahs, let him consider that he prayed one. If he had a doubt whether he did two or three, let him say, 'I prayed two.' If he had a doubt he prayed three or four, let him say, 'I prayed three.' So the suspicion or the doubt would be about the extra. So it means that a person would just consider what he is sure of, and what he doubts about, he just throws it away. So the Prophet's person does that, takes the lower number of rak'ahs that he is sure of, and then the Prophet said, then he prays, prostrates two times, he makes two sujoods before saying salam, and then he makes salam, which means the sujood of sahu that you already know. So you could see that he's narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a detailed answer of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam what to do concerning one or two, two or three, three or four rak'ahs, and what to do also to compensate for that, you know, distraction that happened in as-salah, so that one does not lose some reward because of that distraction by prostrating, by making two sujood of as-sahu before as-salam, then he makes salam. Inshallah, we're going to pray al-maghrib in 10 minutes, so those who want to pray al-maghrib. Al-Imam al-Asqalani radiyallahu anhu, in his book Al-Isaba, mentioned that our master Umar, the caliph, did not use to take jizya from the mages. He used to take it from Christians and Jews, but not from the mages. Until he heard Umar Abdurrahman ibn Auf testify that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam took the jizya from the mages of Hajar. Hajar is an area close to Al-Madinah. So when Umar knew of this testimony of Abdurrahman that he knew the Prophet took the jizya from the majors of Hajar, then Umar started taking from them this jizya. So you could see how Umar trusted Abdurrahman ibn Auf. He did not say, "Oh, bring me witnesses that testify that what you're saying is correct." He accepted his statements at more than one instance because he was a trustworthy person. Also, Umar radiallahu anhu took the words of Abdurrahman ibn Auf when he went on a campaign to an area called Sarwah, Sin, Rasikun, Ghayn. And this also is an area close to Tabuk in Ash-Sham. So Umar wanted to go into that area, but then he was told that there was a plague in the area. So he was going to just go in. Abdurrahman ibn Auf told him, "No, I heard the Messenger of Allah say, if you come to a land and you know of a plague that is in it, do not enter it. But if you are already in it, do not leave it." So Umar radiallahu anhu, of course, he has reliance on Allah. He was inclined towards going in, relying on the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But because he wanted to apply the sunnah of the Prophet, because the Prophet said, if you're out, don't go in, he listened to Abdurrahman as per the statements of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and did not enter it. Some people, of course, they told him, "Do you run away from the will of Allah?" He said, "No, I run from what Allah destined to what Allah destined. Because Allah willed for me also not to go in, because I heard Abdurrahman reporting the Prophet's hadith." And when Umar one time did not go to Hajj, he appointed Abdurrahman ibn Auf to lead the Hajj. Because, you know, the Imam, the Khalifa, is the one who leads the Hajj, the Muslims in Hajj. So one time he asked or appointed Abdurrahman ibn Auf to lead the Muslims in Hajj. And then for the rest of the years, Umar ibn Khattab, radiallahu anhu, he led the Muslims in Hajj. We'll stop this time here. Inshallah, next time we'll continue talking about this great companion, Abdurrahman ibn Auf. رضي الله عنه لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم